The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
This is the Bob France Authority on AM 1420. The Answer.
There we go. Hour number two. Rob Walgate in the chair for Bob this morning. And wow, first hour went fast, Johnny. One more to go. And so much that we talk about on here, especially when I sit in, is the work that's done on policy issues, how the administration does things, how we can impact it as citizens. And today I wanted to introduce the listeners to someone that I know that serves on the board of the American Policy Roundtable, where I work, that has developed and built relationships over the years with elected officials and has also encouraged others in his community to run for office and then rallied the troops around those people and how that's made a positive change and an impact. And that man is Pastor John Bouquet. John pastors Bethel Chapel in Savannah, Ohio, right outside of Ashland. So, Pastor John, good morning, brother.
Good morning, Rob Walgate. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. I'm sure some of the listeners heard me introduce you as Pastor John Bouquet, and they're like, wait a minute. How is a pastor involved with elected officials and building relationships in government? How does that work? They're probably wrecking the car, screaming separation of church and state. That's not allowed. We're violating something or something or something. So how does that work? How does a pastor develop relationships inside a government and people that have influence over public policy?
Well, Rob, listen, part of my calling is that we're called to the community. So I think churches neglect to realize the extension of their ministries really goes out into the community. I mean, we believe in a great commission, and when Jesus gave that, he started in in the local town and then went out to the uttermost parts of the world. So I have a philosophy of ministry that believes that God put our church in our community to impact our community. And so one of the things that is a part of our community is government. So I think the Bible is clear about that, that government is upon the shoulders of Jesus, and the church should influence and inspire government. So we do it with great intention and great results.
Now, those results, that doesn't mean that when someone makes a decision or does something you disagree with, you're not walking into their office, smacking them over the head with the Bible, and condemning them to hell for eternity.
Oh, no.
What does that relationship look like? How does it start? Where does it develop? Because I know whether it's city council or mayor or school boards, I mean, you're in communication. You and your team are in communication with people in all of those offices, as well as state rep, state senator, and governor. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's endless.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it directly in your community.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So Ashland County is maybe about 110 churches. We're in the top five of those churches, so we have a lot of influence. I've been at the same church for 39 years, so you make a lot of friends and a few enemies along the way. But 38 years ago, after I was afraid for the first year, I just always felt a burden for elected officials. So I did a courageous thing. I got on the phone and I called up my city mayor and I said, "Hi, my name is John Bouquet and I'm at Bethel in Savannah and I want to pray for you today. May I do that?" And he was very gracious and said yes. So every Wednesday for the last 39 years, I have prayed for the mayors. I'm on my sixth mayor, by the way. In the next few years, we started going to school systems and praying with superintendents and going to school board meetings and praying for school board meetings, and the list goes on. And then for the last 25 years, you know, because you just came to one of them, I've chaired the countywide prayer breakfast, which invites all 365 elected officials in our county to a breakfast to pray for them. And so that gives us relationship.
That is amazing to build upon those relationships and to think about how it started, because you reached out to the mayor, not because you wanted to complain about something, not because you had a problem or an issue. You asked to pray for him, and that developed a relationship and the willingness to talk. And that's also opened the door for others to come to you and to talk with you about their calling to run for office. You talked about your calling to work with those that are elected or to have an influence. But there's some that come to you and say, "Hey, I'm feeling called that I need to run for office."
Right. And then there's some people we go to and say, "We think you should run for office because you're a leader, you're influential, and you hold the proper biblical positions on government or education or whatever the case may be." So we are, I have a group of pastors and we have no problem sitting down with people and saying, "You know, would you pray about this? And then when you run for office, we'll do everything in our power to pray you in, to, you know, to give you in and to influence the community to vote you in."
And I think the other thing that ends up happening, and I know you've gotten these calls, is maybe people that wouldn't be receptive to the pastor calling to asking, "Can I pray for you?" or the pastor to be there to offer support. When the going gets tough or when there's something happens or tragedy occurs and strikes, I know who they pick up the phone and call first.
That, Rob, that's been a, how do I say that? Sometimes I've gotten the call before their very own pastors have gotten the call because I have developed this friendship and trust. And I think my goal was always to be there in case they needed someone with good counsel, biblical counsel. I've had some mayors call me up and, you know, a crisis situation, say, "I don't even know what God would want me to do in this. What do you think?" And, you know, names excluded. And it's been awesome to give, you know, biblical counsel to mayors and councilmen, councilwomen on those kind of issues. There's been health crisis where, I mean, I've had mayors go to the hospital and I'm, you know, in a life flight. And the wife would call me up and ask me to come down to the mayor because he's very sick. He's got a heart attack, whatever. And, you know, I make sure that I share the gospel with them because that's the ultimate goal. So relationship gives tremendous opportunity to serve the needs of people.
Well, we're talking with Pastor John Bouquet from Bethel Chapel in Savannah, Ohio. And Pastor John, you also have had an impact on those that have been elected recently to serve in public office.
Oh, yeah.
How did that go this past November?
Well, Rob, we're a very happy community because we started, you know, I keep a pulse on what happens in the community. And when we start to see things go a little to the side of the left or go away from truth and get into some of these isms that are popping up all over the place. So, yeah, we inspire leaders to come together. October is our missions month. So we began the October Missions Conference this year with a pastor who is running for city council in Richland County. He was our keynote speaker that day, an African-American brother, and the Lord brought him to the church. And then I invited people in the community who were running for office, and then we had some people in our congregation that were running for office. And I call them missionaries to government. And we brought them all together that Sunday. It was the first Sunday of October, and their spouses. And then we asked God to give us prayer partners. And from our congregation, we brought men and women up to lay their hands on these men and women that were running for office. And we prayed for them and asked God to give them favor. We were able to see every one of those people that we brought up that day. And I don't think it's because they came to church. Don't get that. But every one of those people won their seats, and they'll be sworn in the month of December for new terms. So we had three school board members win. We had a city council person in Richland County, and then some council from the city of Ashland.
Now,
so it was an amazing day, just absolutely an amazing Sunday.
Now, how has your church received that? Have you had people come up to you and be like, Pastor, you know what, I come here on Sunday, I want to be preached the word of God. We don't need to be involved in the realm of politics. We need to stay out of that as a church. Has anyone talked to you like that?
No, not at our church, because that wouldn't fly.
Because they wouldn't be there much longer.
Well, we have a Bible study, and here's the point. Number one, people in politics are people. They're people before they're politicians. Every person needs a pastor in a church. Every person needs an opportunity to know Jesus Christ. And Rob, this is simple. The listeners can make the evaluation. As we have taken our hands out of government and off of the throttle of influencing the community, we've seen where the nation's gone. So God's people have walked out of the schools. They've walked out of government. And the people that don't have biblical truth and don't have any fear and don't have any morals have taken over the country. And Proverbs says, when the righteous are in authority, the people have peace. When the wicked rule, they groan. And I want you to know something, Rob. Our nation is groaning because wickedness is ruling, and the righteous are sitting on the sidelines and they're praying. Well, we got to do a little more than pray. We got to pray and act. And action is getting involved in the process.
It is getting involved in the process, and you're the second person that we've had on the line today that's talked about it. We can pray about it, but it takes some action. It takes some work on our part to get the job done. Well, I want you to know, you know how much I love you, how much I appreciate you, and all the work
you, Rob, that you
do. And thanks for taking the time today to let the listeners hear a little bit about Bethel Chapel and the work that Pastor Bouquet and his entire team is doing in Ashland County, as well as around the state, as well as around the country. There's a long list of people that you have an influence over, and I appreciate the leadership that you're displaying and helping mentor all those folks, myself included. I know I'm calling and picking your brain all the time, so thanks, brother.
Hey, Rob, appreciate you guys. And to our listeners, happy Thanksgiving, and particularly let's pray that God raises up more leaders to influence our nation for the right of God.
Amen. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving, brother.
All
right. Pastor John Bouquet, Bethel Chapel, much, much appreciated. You're listening to the Bob France Authority on AM 1420, The Answer.
Free WHK mobile app and listen to your favorite WHK programs or podcasts on the go. It's free in your app store. It's the Bob France Authority here on AM 1420. The Answer.
Welcome back to the Bob France Authority. Rob Walgate sitting in for Bob on the day before Thanksgiving 2021. Lots of stuff to talk about. We've had an action-packed show filled with guests. We have one more guest to go before we get there. Dave Zanotti, CEO of the American Policy Roundtable, and also my boss, will be joining us at 10:35. Looking forward to that discussion. My phone is blowing up with text messages asking questions. Have a lot to talk about regarding vaccines, vaccine mandates, what Melanie had discussed in regards to pending legislation, Pastor Bouquet had to say, such great stuff on how to lead by example. and have an influence in the community in which you live, and also getting questions regarding Ohio legislation as it pertains to gambling and what lies ahead, because the gambling interests have promised for years that Ohio would have sports gambling by now. Because remember, when the Supreme Court ruled, there was in essence a monopoly taking place on gambling, and that Vegas could not have that monopoly. It was illegal to tell one place you could do it and all the others you couldn't. That was just going to open up the wild, wild west. And I'll tell you what, I talked earlier about the drug companies and the powerful lobbyists that they have. Well, they are not to be outdone, because the gambling industry spends more money on lobbyists than just about everyone else. They spend a ton of money on lobbyists, and they're going crazy that they haven't been able to get a foothold in the state of Ohio when it comes to sports gambling. Full disclosure, I am against the expansion of gambling as it pertains to sports in the state of Ohio. I can list the reasons why, and they're having big problems down there as it pertains to legislation. And the reason they're having big problems is because of the legality of it all. The constitutionality is what the hangup is. We have a couple of things in Ohio. We have the Casino Control Commission that oversees the four casinos. We have the Lottery Commission that oversees the Ohio Lottery and all the games that take place. And they actually oversee the slot machines that are at the racetracks, which, if we want to be quite certain, I believe those are unconstitutional. The reason they're unconstitutional and the reason they're illegal is the fact that when they were approved, and they weren't approved by voters as they should have been, they were done by a memorandum of understanding that was agreed to by John Kasich. He did not sign that memorandum of understanding, and he agreed to it with the casino owners after the 2009 constitutional amendment was passed. But John Kasich and his team picked the winners and the losers. If those slot machines and the racetracks are under the auspice of the Ohio Lottery, then how come they're the only ones that get slot machines? Why doesn't every lottery retailer have the opportunity to have a slot machine in their establishment? Now, some people are throwing their hands in the air and saying, Rob, that's advocating for more gambling. Listen, I'm not advocating for more gambling. I'm advocating for the rule of law. And the law should be and is that if you're a lottery retailer, you can have lottery products. Why does the administration get to pick and choose who gets what lottery product? No one can answer that question. But when it comes to the Ohio Constitution, gambling is prohibited in the state of Ohio, except for three instances. The state lottery, which we just discussed, charitable gambling, which all proceeds would go to a 501c3 organization, and the casinos, the brick-and-mortar casinos in the four locations, and those exact land plots are listed in the Ohio Constitution. They're there. Now everyone wants sports gambling, and they want it on an app, and they want to be able to do it from their couch. Well, constitutionally, there is zero way that that is possible and legal by doing it and putting it under the Casino Control Commission. Yet that's what you hear advocated for by state lawmakers in Columbus. But yet they can't justify how it would be constitutional, because there's no way it would be constitutional. That's why others want it under the Lottery Commission. It still has major constitutional questions under the Lottery Commission, but it would be closer. I'll give them that. It would be closer as it would be a lottery product, but they wouldn't be able to discriminate. Why would they be able to tell some people they can sell or they can participate in sports gambling and others can't? There's one thing the gambling industry does, and they do well. They overpromise and underdeliver. Take a look at the 2009 campaign. Take a look at all the things that Dan Gilbert and his team promised Cleveland. I think the streets were supposed to be lined with gold and everyone was getting puppies. That's what I remember the promise being. I haven't gotten a puppy. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I know we had across the street, there was supposed to be another phase two of the casino and more development. Has that happened? No, it hasn't happened, because it doesn't matter what they say in the beginning. They're not going to be held accountable and they don't have to deliver. That's how it works with the gambling industry. That's how it takes place. Now, some people are saying, Rob, gambling is illegal and people are betting right now illegally. Yeah, they are. There are people that listen to this show right this second that have been texting me that gamble illegally every weekend, maybe every day. They're still going to gamble illegally. they're not going to bet with the state. The thought that because something becomes illegal, legal will make the illegal operations disappear isn't reality. And the reason that is because the bookies are offering better payouts. They're offering better odds. They're allowing you to go on a line of credit. That's why those people will still bet illegally. And if you have that position that, hey, it needs to be legal because it's happening illegally, I hope you have that position with everything. Do you feel that way about heroin? Do you feel that way about prostitution? Do you feel that way about every activity that is illegal, but it still takes place? The silence is for effect. Because yes, if you have that libertarian mindset to where it should always be that way, then hey, have at it. Heroin, prostitution, you name it, it's full go on everything. If the state can tax it, then should we legalize everything that can be taxed? That's a pretty dangerous argument, and that's a very slippery slope. The other thing when it comes to gambling, gambling dollars can only be spent once. And listen, I could go on a riff for 30 minutes about gambling and the detriment to it, the bad public policy, but gambling dollars can only be spent once. You're going to introduce new people to the world of sports gambling. Those are people that aren't spending money in local restaurants. They aren't going to Cedar Point. They are going to lose that money in the gambling aspect. There's no way that I would be in support of it becoming legal, especially doing on our apps and phones. We haven't even got into fixing games, college students, influence. We could go on and on. We don't have time for that. We're up against a break. But that just gives you a little tidbit, and that's why they can't come to an agreement in Columbus on how to pass the legislation. They can't agree who's going to get paid, and they understand they can't make it so it's constitutional. That's the bottom line. You're listening to the Bob France Authority on AM 1420, The Answer.
Courtesy of the Bob France Authority on AM 1420, The Answer.
Welcome back to the Bob France Authority. Rob Walgate in the chair this morning. We've been a bit guest heavy, but that's for good reason. I wanted you to meet each and every one of those people that we talked to up to this point. Mike Meadows, Melanie Elsey, Pastor John Bouquet. And joining us now is my boss, CEO of the American Policy Roundtable, who joins me every time I have the opportunity to host this amazing program, the Bob France Authority, and that is Dave Zanotti. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, Rob. Hey. You got Meadows on this morning, huh?
Yeah. We had a wonderful interview talking about tomorrow's games, festivities. He invited me out. I'm going to go out, but there is zero chance I attempt to run or throw or do anything because, yeah. When I told him I could wear a striped shirt and throw flags.
Well, for people to know, that is a big part of the background of your life story in regards to basketball officiating at the highest levels, including standing under the arms of some of those guys in the NBA at some scrimmages that you were invited to do, as well as being a baseball umpire. Also, you come from a family of officials, and I have to think that as a training area for you was the best possible way God could raise you up, better than a PhD, to be in the mission field of public policy, because you're able to watch people melt down without melting down yourself. And I've seen you do this time and time and time again. So if someone's considering the arena of public policy, I highly recommend try umpiring a few baseball games. You get a real feel for what it's like to deal with people.
I could not agree more. And you deal with people. You deal with like Billy's grandma in the third row screaming at you no matter what you call. Now everyone has a cell phone out, so they're going to show you a video of the play within 30 seconds. And it is by far the most cutthroat. College basketball officiating is the most cutthroat world you could probably be involved in because everyone, it seems, although I've met a lot of great friends and a lot of great guys, there are plenty that are out just for themselves. So if you mess up, they know that that means more games and assignments for them if you go by the wayside.
You guys get reviewed all the time.
Oh, right? After
the tapes of the big game.
Every call, after every call. And I always say, you know, when it comes to the world of politics, if you will, public policy that you and I have the opportunity to work in every day, the world of college basketball officiating and football officiating, for that matter, is far more political than anything we do, because the people at the top that are making the choices on who gets to be on each of those games is such a political process that we'd need 4 hours of shows to get into how those are decided.
More than two segments.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that was a tangent, but I thought it would be helpful for people to know that just a part of your background story, but one that never gets talked about. Now, you don't, I know you don't do that anymore because we keep you too busy working with all the work at the American Policy Roundtable, which is now an organization that is on over 200 radio stations coast to coast. We have offices, as you know, in Ohio and Florida and Tennessee. So you're a very busy person. In fact, you are shortly to hit the road to join me here in Nashville, Tennessee, for the live recording of Christmas in America, which we do every Thanksgiving weekend here in the Music City, and then bring back to Cleveland and take across the country to 200 radio stations. And again, this year we'll be doing a video project as well. So that's a big, big project. I know you probably got your bags packed. So yeah, don't run tomorrow at the Turkey Bowl. Don't pull a hamstring. You got a long ride ahead of you.
Yeah, I'm just going to just be a silent observer. Just sit back and watch and have a little fun. But yeah, no. But as you mentioned, Christmas in America, and Bob has been very gracious to us and our team, and he always plays Christmas in America the week of Christmas and Christmas Day on his program. That's what takes over the airwaves on 1420. So we're very appreciative of his willingness to do that each and every year.
And I'm guessing maybe he'll do it Christmas Eve this
yeah.
year, because that's a Friday, and yeah. the program will be ready to go for that. And I was thinking, Rob, this morning, getting ready to join you, how fortunate you and I are. You and I have such an opportunity to be thankful, because God, in his merciful grace, has permitted us to be missionaries to America. Now, I believe every person of biblical faith is a missionary in whatever nation or town or community or household in which they find themselves. You and I serve in an organization of dedicated people that for 42 years has been working in a mission outreach to the United States, and we are so fortunate to have the opportunity to bring the first principles of this nation every day back to the attention of the people who are now responsible in this generation for keeping that light of liberty alive. Now, it's not always easy, and we get thrown out of a lot of meetings. We get, if tar and feathering was still legal, I have a feeling you and I would have plenty of scars to show for it. But it's not an easy work. Sometimes it's not a very friendly work. But I am thankful nonetheless for the privilege and the opportunity to still survive in a country where the basic rights that our founders hoped for are still alive, sometimes flickering, sometimes weak, but are still alive. And you and I get to try every day to strengthen those basic fundamental rights and their practice in civil culture.
We do. And as we talk with others about those, that can be the... You know, you talk about them flickering, and that can be the frustrating part, because you want to give everyone that message of truth. You want to give them the message in historical context, whether it's talking about Thanksgiving or talking about pending legislation. And sometimes it can be overwhelming in not being able, because we want to scream and yell at the top of our lungs, but we know that's not going to help educate or teach anyone. We have to do the job of sitting down, like grown-ups and adults, and I don't play that role well, self-admittedly, in having discussions and laying out the framework on why it's true truth.
Well, and this is especially true around the holiday times, where we get together with people that we love, people with whom we're committed to for eternity, people to whom we are genetically connected for all time, our families and our friends. And it's a frustrating time, because people who love others want others to be well. And it's easy as a parent, sometimes it's easy as a sibling. You see that someone is holding thoughts and ideas that you know from personal experience, from your research, from your life, that you know the danger that they're in and where those ideas are going to lead them. So you kind of want to grab somebody and save them from a burning building. And sometimes around the holidays, especially if people have had more than they should to drink, these conversations get exceptionally loud, difficult, and sometimes they get embarrassing. I always try to remind myself at this time of year that love never fails. That's what we hear every time we go to a wedding. We hear 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love never fails. That's where that passage ends, but it begins with love is patient and love is kind. And it takes a great amount of patience to see someone you love in the wrong spot, and you want to pull them out of that spot because you don't want them to be hurt. But that's something most times we're not permitted to do.
Well, and I think we may go into that Thanksgiving dinner with that person we know we're going to disagree with in today's world, and we'll have read something that they put on social media. And so many times, I mean, I think of people that I consider near and dear and close friends, their social media persona is not who they are in real life. It's not reality. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they just put that out there and said that, because that's not, that presents them in a way that they aren't. It's bombastic and combative. And I think that has created a problem of where we don't live in a realistic world sometimes.
Rob, I know that we have to be involved at every level of media, and we have to be aware, and that's a task. I'm thankful this Thanksgiving that I do not have a Twitter account, that I do not have a Facebook account, that I do not participate in social media, and it comes as a surprise to many that the American Policy Roundtable is not found in those platforms either. We willfully withdrew years ago and said we would not permit our friends to be exposed to the tyranny of the FANG companies of Facebook and Amazon and Netflix and Google and Apple. We would not permit people to be subjected to the tyranny of those networks. And I'm thankful that, and I don't care what your age is. Look, 4-year-olds aren't on Facebook. It's one of the reasons they're so happy. It doesn't matter whether you're 440 or 140. These things, I'm telling you, on the net aren't worth participating in. We've made a grave mistake to be a part of it. But you're also very right. There's a difference between the false reality of social media and sitting down with somebody for dinner.
Well, when it comes to, I think about the historical proclamations of Thanksgiving through the years, the presidential proclamations. And we know the first one, obviously. I mean, the Continental Congress gave them first, correct? Am I correct here?
Yeah, one of the original governors, it wasn't Sam Adams, it was John Hancock, was one of the very first governors to institute a Thanksgiving as well in this country. So yeah, it began very early, very, very early. And of course, we could even go earlier than that in the Thanksgiving practices that happened right. with pilgrims. So there's a long tradition, and of course, that long tradition intimates something that many moderns are uncomfortable with. They weren't being thankful to their friends. They were being thankful to God.
The provisions that have been provided, and also for what lies ahead. Yes, yes. We've lost sight of that in this country. And one of the reasons is because we view, and I think we've allowed administrations to do it, we don't view our neighbors as we should love our neighbors. We view our neighbors as someone we can turn in if they're not following the rules.
Well, Festivus is a great celebration on Seinfeld, but it doesn't work much when you actually have to live with real people.
No, it doesn't. But one of the best traditions there are is when Senator Rand Paul every year gives his airing of grievances on Festivus. and lists them out. And it usually highlights the spending of each and every one of our wallets and what comes out of it in the airing of grievances. But you're right, Dave. We have so much that we are thankful for in the work that we get to do at the American Policy Roundtable and on the public square and the colleagues that we get to work with. And that's why today, when I had the opportunity to host this show, I've had Melanie on, I've had Pastor John on, I've had you on. I'm thankful. You know, I'm thinking of Patty and Sue and Alan and Anna, Sherry and Jeff and Wayne, the entire team that we get to work with each and every day. And I'm thankful for what we get to do.
Well, we wouldn't be able to do it if it weren't for great people like Bob France, who help also light the way. I mean, yes. The lamppost is the logo for the public square. And the idea is everybody can become a lamppost wherever they are. It could be a light. So we get the privilege of helping to encourage people to do the right thing. And and because of their generosity, they help us help them. So it's a team effort.
Well, as you mentioned, Christmas in America, live Sunday, Nashville, Tennessee. I'm going to put you on the spot, on the air. Ask the question, are we ready?
Well, let's put it this way. The plane's going to land. It won't crash, but I think we're on a short field. We've got a lot of moving parts. Last year, we were extremely condensed because we did shows in the COVID environment, and so we had to compress everything. This year, we're back to a normal situation, and it feels like we're dealing with a cast of millions. But that show will also be heard, as you mentioned, on this program, and it will also have an opportunity for people to participate in the video airing of it. The video will actually premiere in Greater Cleveland before it even goes out to the world. There'll be a special premiere at the American Mission Center. So there's always going to be a Cleveland connection to Christmas in America.
Amen. And I'm getting text messages right now as I look down at my phone from Patty asking me details and on it. I said, hey, I'm live on the air. I'm going to have to call you out that you're bothering me and Dave while we're trying to do an interview on the air. But she's...
somebody's not on their phone.
Yeah. She's crossing her T's, dotting her I's, getting ready, as you mentioned. And for those wondering, what is this Christmas in America that you talk about? I encourage you to visit thepublicsquare.com/CIA. Yes, Christmas in America, CIA. Thepublicsquare.com/CIA. You can see the entire inventory of Christmas in America shows where we go back and take a look at a different year in history, this year being the year 2000, but many other years throughout that we've covered, and it has amazing music and amazing stories.
11 episodes, Rob. This will be the 11th year we've done this, and they're now like the old Firestone and Goodyear Christmas albums you stack up at your home. You can turn to any of those episodes at any time during the year, particularly in the holiday season. And you can listen, and they get richer and warmer and more golden as the years go on.
Well, I'm excited for it. I know everyone else is excited for it. The team's getting ready. So, like you said, plane's going to take off. We're going to land. We'll make sure it's smooth. But thanks for all the work that you do, DZ. Thanks for taking the time today to join me, and have an amazing Thanksgiving.
Well, thanks. I'll see you in Nashville in hours. Enjoy your turkey bowl, and then, like I said, be safe because you got a long drive ahead of you. We'll see you here.
You got it. I'll see you there. Thanks, my friend. Dave Zanotti, CEO of the American Policy Roundtable. Johnny, we're getting closer. We're almost to the end.
Definitely. Great show so far.
We'll be back after the break. You're listening to AM 1420, The Answer. Here we go. Just a couple minutes left on Bob France, the Authority. Johnny, it's been fun.
It's been a good show today, I think.
Marcy, thank you. Always a pleasure to have the opportunity to sit with both of you. I hope you have an amazing Thanksgiving. And then we got a couple minutes left. I want to go to the phones because I want to bring in Lisa Woods from McFan. Lisa's been waiting a while. Lisa, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you, your family, and all the great listeners here at Bob France's show.
Yes, plenty of them out there. Bob, you know, anytime I have the opportunity to sit in this chair, I'm always appreciative. I'm always thankful because I know I get to spend time with such an amazing audience.
Indeed. You know, I'm so thankful for all the people. Today I'm thinking, you know, what am I most thankful for? And, of course, I think of my kids and family, my mom, you know, and then the great people that get involved because of what's going on, you know, the people that show up to McFan, the people that that speak, you know, and go to all these other meetings like Ohio Freedom Fighters and the people that you have at the American Round Table. It's just amazing how blessed we are with incredible people and reaching out to the masses of those that may be on the fence or just don't, you know, aren't aware of what's going on.
Well,
so we are blessed indeed.
We are, and that's how we can encourage our friends and neighbors to get involved. One of the things, you know, I know some people look at it and say, oh, my vote doesn't matter, or this doesn't matter. And I think we get distracted by what happens in Washington, D.C. We get distracted by what's on the major cable news networks, and we need to be understanding that the decisions that are made at the local level impact each and every one of us every single day. And we have to be involved at all levels. And there are going to be people that feel they have a calling at different places, and that's wonderful and great, but we need to be involved and have an understanding of what's going on. I'll give you just two examples. It's happened, well, actually three. A coin flip has decided two races in the state of Ohio in the past week. A coin flip. Because after recounts, they were tied.
Wow.
So for people who say one vote doesn't matter, well, one vote surely mattered there. The other one was a levy. It finished as a tie, but by law, a levy has to have more yes votes than no votes. So the levy's not approved if it doesn't get that number of votes. So that was defeated. If one more person had voted for it, then it would have passed. Although my opinion on levies, Lisa, is the fact that I always tell people, if you want to vote for them all you want. But if they are defeated, I don't understand. We should find out all the people that voted yes. Why don't they just send in what they were going to pay? Because that would cut the debt in roughly half or raise half the money that they wanted to raise. So if you vote yes for the levy, you should be taxed on whatever you voted for no matter what, right? I mean, if it doesn't pass, if over 50% plus one pass, then that's how it is. So, but anyway, thank you for the call, Lisa. I pray you and your family have an amazing Thanksgiving. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks so much. Hey, I just want to mention real quick, we do have a meeting this Saturday, and traditionally we don't, but Claire Lopez is coming to give us an update on national security. So I really want people to know that, especially Bob France's audience, that this Saturday there will be a meeting at the Thirsty Cowboy.
Thirsty Cowboy, Saturday morning, McFan, Claire Lopez will be there. We'll make sure everyone knows. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
All right. Well, friends, thanks for having me. I pray each and every one of you have an amazing Thanksgiving.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.